So let's learn a little bit. So today's discussion is just a good Shas type of topic. It's not a heavy Lamdisha topic at all, but it does come up, and I thought it was worthwhile just to figure out when we apply different rules in Shas, whether it be Einanis M'makom Ashiras, or this other concept of Chas Rachmana Mamonan Shel Yisrael. So let's go through the sugya. It starts off in Chaf Zayim. We were talking about how when it comes to Tainus, so the Mishnah says we use that of Kesef, silver. And when it comes to Shofar and Rosh Hashanah, we end up using that of Zahav, gold. So what's the difference? Why one's Kesef, one's Metzupa B'Zahav? So the Gemara says, Maishnahacha. So first answer is because the Tainus is very different fundamentally than the Rosh Hashanah. There's an Indian that when it comes to Knufya, when it comes to being Ma'asiv, gathering people together, and a Tainus is primarily to get people together. Granted, Rosh Hashanah also, there's Yom HaDin and people come together. But Be'etim, it's an Indian of Knufya by Tainus, so Kesef somehow is connected to that Indian of Tainus, without getting into why that is. A different topic. But then the Gemara says, Yibayseima HaTorah Chasa Al Mamonan Shel Yisrael. The Torah is Chas on the property, the money of Am Yisrael. So therefore, when it came to the Tainus, they only required Kesef. So the Gemara says, that's the case. Why weren't we Chas with respect to Rosh Hashanah? Hasam Nami Navid the Kesef. The Gemara says, you're right, we are, but we always have to balance out other midos, other ideas, other inyanim. So there, because it's Kavod Yontif is Adif. The Kavod of Rosh Hashanah being a very unique day of the year, that trumps the inyan of Chasa Amamonan Sheyisrael. So you saw, I assume you saw the Rashi. The Rashi brings, what's the source of Torah Chasa Amamonan Sheyisrael? It's based on the pasuk by the Mitzorah of Tziva Kohen Ufinos Abayis, that when it comes to the Kohen, and a person finds a Neged Taras, so the din is, even though it could be a Neged Taras, and even if Talmud Chacham could notice, and based on the halachas, he knows that it's a teras. It's not a teras until the Kohen declares it to be a teras. So there are a few times we sometimes say we hold off, that the Kohen doesn't say anything. One of them is this situation. We want him to take out all the property from his house, all the kelim. Ufinos abayis shelo yitamu klecheres. Because if the klecheres, the pottery, gets tame, shebesocha ein lehem tara b'mikvah. You can't dump it in the mikvah. It's not going to work. It won't become tahor. So we say, hold off a little bit, and wait for him to empty the house, and then you could declare it to be Tameh. Another example, just in the Neged Taras, another example that we say, hold off. Anyone know any other examples where we tell the Kohen to hold off and not to declare Tameh? Not by a bias necessarily, but by a person. But? Moed, exactly. Moed. The Mishnah Moed Katan says, by a Moed, we'd push off, we would hold off until the Moed. There's Machlok is there, the Mishnah, whether or not, if we know it's Tahor, can he declare it to be Tahor? Or no, you don't talk about Neged Taras at all. What's another example? Shebra, exactly. Shebra, who said that? I can't see who said that. Excellent. I don't have glasses. I do, but I don't wear them. So that's why I can't see you. So I couldn't hear it also where I came from. So by Shebra, who's a person, a chasan, the chasan, we don't have a, if he has a Neged Taras developed, we don't have a Kohen look at it, because we let him enjoy it. So that's actually one of the rayas. They bring that the Sheva Bracha, Shiv Simei Mishnah, is like a regal. It's like a certain yantif for him. A certain level of a yantif for the chasim. So we hold off. So, but what's the reason we hold off, at least with respect to the house? With respect to the house, because we weren't mechas rachmana. Klei charis is a little bit of you lose a couple of pots and pans. Okay, I'll buy new ones. Because even a small klei charis we're concerned with. If there's time at the end, usually there is time at the end, I'll share with you a beautiful drush of palm. Write it down so I don't forget about this inyan of Neged Taras on a bias. Fine, so that's one source of this concept of HaTorah Chasa Mamonan Shel Yisrael. And there's another source which I assume you saw, the Gemara Menachos. Gemara Menachos talks about the making of the Lechem Panim, the weekly Lechem Panim, 12 loaves of bread every single week. They put it on the Lechem Panim, and every Shabbos they'd switch, and then they'd split the Lechem Panim between the Mishmaros of the Kohanim coming in and the Kohanim leaving. That every week they'd switch who would be working. There are 24 Mishmaros of Kuna, 24 different families that would work in the base of Mikdash, and each one would have a different 2 weeks of the year, right? Be'erach, the 50 weeks in a year. All Pesach, all Kohanim could work. All of Sukkot, all Kohanim could work. So the 48 weeks left. So of the families, 24 families, so each one had a week. So 24 times 2, there were 48 weeks. But Pesach, every kohen could work, and Sukkot, every kohen could work. The rest of the year, you had to be, that was your mishmar. So the mishmaros would switch, it would swap on Shabbos, they'd have a turnover, so then they'd split up the lechem upon them. There's a Gemara, the Mishnah, at the end of last Mishnah in Sukkot, talks about how they divide it. 6 and 6, sometimes 7 and 5. Either way, they divide the lechem upon them each Shabbos. So now, in terms of making the lechem upon him, so the Gemara says that you're allowed to use, you buy solas. How you know you could even buy chita, you could buy even wheat. The Gemara says, lakachta, as long as you buy the right material, the wheat, you don't need to buy it flour. Flour is more expensive because it went through a process. Wheat is much cheaper. So the Gemara says, so why don't you buy wheat for menachos? Menachos, you could buy solas. You have to buy solas. You have to buy flour. If you're buying a mincha, a personal mincha, you have to buy flour. You can't buy wheat for it. But for lechem apanim, you can even buy wheat. It's cheaper. So mipnei wa? What's the reason? Because mipnei hachisachon. What's chisachon, says the Gemara? HaTorah chasa amamonan sheYisrael. As Rashi explains, it was a weekly activity of buying wheat for the lechem apanim. And therefore, it cost a lot of money. So they said you could buy the cheaper wheat for the lechem apanim. What's the source that chasa Torah mana, that Torah chasa amamonan sheYisrael? V'shkisa sa'eda v'esbiram. That you should serve water to the Eda, the people, and also to Be'iram, which are the animals, the behemoths, in Parshas Chukas. Make sure you give them water as well. Why are you giving the water to the animals? Because the Torah is Chasa Amamonan Sheyisrael. So two different sources. We have a klal. We have a klal, we don't have two drushes teaching us the same din. So how come we have Vishkisa Ta'eda, Vesbiram, and then we have the Gemara, the Rashi quotes of Vitziva Kohen Ufino Sabayas. Both teaching the same concept of the Torah is Chasa Amamonan Sheyisrael. So, I came across three different answers. There could be more, could be other suggestions. If you have any, feel free to make suggestions. But this is the question that the Yom Tshuva asks, among others. And I'll go first with the Mitzvah Eis on the answer. The Mitzvah Eis in the back, his Teretz is that Dashmi'inan da'af b'makom isura chasa. That the added chiddush of Ishkisa sa'eda ubi'iram was a makom of an isur. What's the isur? V'hasam ika isura lehanos mimaisa nisim kid'isa b'maseches tainas. There's an isur to be nehene from a maisa nisim. So I was telling some of the guys before who asked about this topic. It's one of the fascinating shilas that comes up in many different contexts about how could Klai Yisrael be nehene from the mun, from the Ber Mayim. These are nisim. Everything in the Midbar was all nisim. How are they allowed to be nehene from that? So Rav Shlomo Kluger asks this question. Rav Shlomo Kluger answers that not simply that the isser of being nehene from Mayis and nisim is only an isser midirban. And therefore, in the Midbar, they were not bound by isser midirban, and therefore it wasn't a shilah. So I recall a shaila about this similar to Noach and the Teva. I mentioned to, I think, Adam, Yitzchak, Mordechai, maybe to them, I mentioned that in the Teva, all the food remained fresh for many days. It didn't go, it didn't get spoiled, didn't get sour. So they asked the question, how can Noach be nene from Mais and Nisim? It was a nace. So I don't recall the answer. I imagine one of the answers would be Kuach Nefesh. No, what else would he survive on? It could be called the Matan Torah in Isser Midrabanan only. There are other answers, but this is a fun question that comes up, you know, through the different stories of the Parsha. So Chavetzel Sasharon, he likes talking about this question as well. He says the reason why Klaiso was able to be Nehne from the Ber Mayim and the Mun, all that, he says, the Sugya, the Gemara in Tainus talks about Rebbe Lazar and his daughter. The story, I think it was Rebbe Lazar, if I remember correctly, where he was out in the Shuk, and his daughter came running to him that the oven's overflowing with tefillah. It's like exploding. It's overflowing with bread. So he understood. He was used to having nisim happen to him. And he said, whoever I'm answering that, that's the hektesh. He immediately made a hektesh and no one could get hana from it. So Rashi says, what's wrong with getting hana from ma'is and nisim? So apparently there's a din that a person who's nanda from ma'is and nisim, it takes away his zechuyos. He loses zechuyos for them. Just like when Yaakov Avinu was concerned, Katonti mikol chasadim. Katonti. He thought, the Gemara says, I lost all my zechuyos. He thought he did the wrong thing. HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised him he'll take care of him. And he says, but katonti, maybe I already earned all my zechuyos and I lost them. So too, if a person's nedav from a nes, he's going to lose his zechuyos. So that's the iser. So the Chavetz says, based on this Rashi's understanding, his agdara of the concept of minehena from a nes, it's only if it comes about because of your zechus. If a nes comes because of your zechus and your nehena, so then you are suspect of losing that zechus. But if a nes didn't come because of you, it came because the Kaddish Baruch Hu wanted to be mare nisim and neflos to show the world. That's not because of you, and you're not going to be at a loss for being nana from that. So yes, a Kaddish Baruch Hu.
With the bear that when she passed away, so they stopped getting water from the bear.
Yeah, it came back. The Gemara says because of Moshe Rabbeinu came in his zechus. But let me finish his point though. Granted that HaKadosh Baruch Hu provided the bear Miriam, he provided them on, it was to give us, and Zechus of Am Yisrael, the Zechus of Miriam, Aaron, and Moshe, but it was done in a way where it was also there to show HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Zegalus, Nisim and Niflos. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu could have done something else. He could have made things grow. He could have taken them into an area where there's, I don't know, grass that were grown. But he wanted the Dafka do an ace. So he could have done something, but he did in such a way to show. Show nisim and neflos. So if the point is to show Kadosh Baruch Hu's galus, that's not going to lose out my tzuchuyos. If it happens just because of an individual, one individual, that's a chashash, don't get hana. So that's how Chavetz Chaim explains this.
Eitan himself in Sefes Tainus actually explains the chiluk to be very similar to this. He says when it comes to the yachid, so it's pulling from his own tzuchuyos, it's a problem. But when it's a tzibor, so then it's okay because it's not going to take away from the zechuyos.
Excellent, beautiful, very good. Okay. He must like this shayla, I guess. You see some, I don't know, sometimes you see like certain themes that they like, certain shaylas, like to answer these shaylas. So maybe it could be that was one of those things. They, you know, there's a the Ramban in the beginning of Masechta Bava Basra. Bava Basra talks about Hezek Ria. So Hezek Ria and building a mechitza. Did I mention this one before? I don't know if I did or not. I mentioned, yeah, so that's, you see, certain themes that people have of certain things they like, the Din Dagarmi case. So, okay, so that's the first answer, that they can't be Nana for Maisa Nisim. So that's why the Adel Chiddush Vishkisa Esa Eda Vezbiram is telling me, even B'makum the Isser of being Nana for Maneis, even then you're still allowed to, we're still Chasach Mona, Chasach Torah Chasach Mamon and Yisrael, and therefore use the water from the Neis that came from the Sela to preserve the property and the money of Am Yisrael. That's answer one. Answer two, Yom Chu himself. Yeah, Benji.
Why not just use that pasuk then?
Yes, so that's a good question. Why, once you have Vishkisa Edeves Biram, that you could use, you could save money, B'malkum Isser, obviously, Kavachomer, when there's no Isser. So I was wondering the same thing. I don't know. I don't have a good answer. You have a suggestion?
You don't see that it doesn't work if you hold Tzar Malachai as the Reiser. So then you are using
right, that's only if you hold that way. But if you assume Hishkisa, right, if you hold that Hishkisa is really the source, and it's telling me because it's a Mamachin Iser, once you establish that, if you assume again, not Tzabai Chaim, it's not the source, it's really a source for Mamachin Iser, then why do you need another source of Vifinus Abayas? Great question, I don't have an answer.
You could also just say that over there is dealing with a Kihila, and so it's not a Maisa Iser Mamish like to, you know, or it's not us or Mamish to get Hana from the Nase, in which case it's not actually proving that it's that Chas Rachmana applies even to Makom the Isser of getting Hana from a Nase.
No, that would be a different answer then. I mean, that's not the Mitzvah Eitan doesn't say that. He says you learn that you can, even when there is an Isser, he says there's an Isser, and you could still get, we preserve the Mamon even by Makom Isser. Uh-huh. You're saying there's no Isser. That's not what
but
he's saying.
It would only be by Yachid. That's what he says in Tainus.
Right. So then his answer doesn't work here. Right. Okay. So the second answer Yom Chu himself suggests is that what he said Mordechai was referring to was the Tzar Balei Chaim issue. So there's a machlokus in the Gemara Bava Metzia whether Tzar Balei Chaim is a deraisa or derabanan. Some hold it is deraisa, some hold it's not derabanan. There's a very interesting Minchas Asher. It might be in Parshas Balak in terms of Bilam and Chamoro. He talks about a fascinating piece where he lists like 15 plus sources of Tzar Balei Chaim, Minat Torah. And he says, why there's so, we don't have so many sources for anything else. It's one source. How come there 15 different sources of Tzar Balei Chaim? So he develops the idea that there's certain things, it's an idea that was really, it's a chiddush of Rav Chana Wasserman talks about this. It's something called Ratzon Hashem, Ratzon HaTorah. Certain things that you don't need a pasuk for. It's understood, it's intuitive. So one of the simanim that's intuitive, it's Ratzon Hashem when there's no real source. There's no real source. When there are so many indicators, there's no real source for Tzar Balei Chaim, but clearly everyone thought it was something that was part of the Torah's understanding. We have to have Rachmanis on animals, on behemoths. So there's no one source. These are examples of this this concept. Another example that comes to mind also is the beginning of Maseches Baba Kama. Baba Kama is the first Masechet of Seder Nezikin. So is there an Isser to be Mazik? What's the Isser? If a person's Mazik property, are you violating Isser? Achlokas. What are the different opinions? Okay. After Echakamocha, Lo Sigzel, a whole list. There's no, the Gemara itself doesn't bring a Makor. There's no source. So this is another example that was understood that it's also to be Mazik. The Torah just addresses the punishments, the payments, but that was the Ratzon Hashem, that not the damage. There's an Isser in doing so. So Tzar Balei Chaim is one of these examples, according to Rav Asher Weiss, that it's also Ratzon Hashem. There's no real source, but it's Deraisa. Others say, no, but Tzar Balei Chaim is only Isser Midrabanan. So what Yom HaTshuva says, that this Machlokas, it's not really that you need both sources. The two different sources are arguing about whether or not Tzar Balei Chaim is Deraisa or Derabanan. And he says as follows. He says, the one who learns out the source from Vishkisa Esa'eda Vesbiram, they assume it's not, Tzar Balei Chaim is not Deraisa. And therefore, this pasuk is available to learn the din of the Torah's Chasa Mamon and Yisrael. But if you hold that Tzar Balei Chaim is a Deraisa, then you use the pasuk Vishkisa Esa'eda Vesbiram, that you have to feed the water to the animals because the Tzar Balei Chaim is Deraisa. That pasuk isn't available for a secondary drasha of HaTorah Chasa Amamon and Sheisrael. So therefore, you have to go to the other pasuk of Finos Abayas. So again, which pasuk you're choosing would be Taloi. It hinges on whether or not you assume Tzar Balei Chaim is Deraisa or Derabanan. But he's assuming that the source of Tzar Balei Chaim, if you hold this Deraisa, is from Vishkisa Sa'eda Vespiram. As I pointed out, there are many, many other sources for this as well. One other example that the Gemara itself in Bava Seri refers to is unloading the animal, unloading the baggage, the luggage, the boxes, the loads on the from the back of the animal. That's another indicator. Some say that's because the Tzar Balei Chaim is Deraisa. So that's the second answer. So again, the first answer is why two sources? Is because of you can't be nana from Iser, Maisa Nizim. In this particular halacha, you can. Number two is it's dependent on whether Tzar Balei Chaim is Deraisa or Derabanan. The third answer, Zachariah made this suggestion, and he's mechavin to what the Chavetz Sharon says about the difference of the different psukim. So what he explains here is, he talks about this topic on Parshas Chukas, and he says that as follows. There's a difference between a hefsed muat and a hefsed merubah. So Zachariah was first saying a yachid versus rabim. The case of Finus Abayis is a yachid, an individual's home, his own house. And Vesbiram is referring to the Am Yisrael, to the entire Tzibur, Rabim, the Tzibur. So it's not Yachid versus Tzibur, but it's more, I believe, Hefsed Muat versus Hefsed Meruba. Many people, or a lot of money is being lost. Vesbiram, the entire Tzibur's flock and cattle, versus Pirsa Bais, is the individual, some Klei Cheres, not much, a few pennies here and there. So just important to appreciate this a little bit more. There's a sefer called Sefer Zorakia. Zorakia is written by the Rashbaites. Rashbaites has a sefer on the Minyan HaMitzvos. He talks about this concept of the importance of Hefsed Merubah, how it's an Isser Merdo, an Isser Deraisa, to be mafsed Mamon Shei Yisrael. So by the way, this might be a source of Isser Mazik, that having to preserve the fact that Torah is a Chasa, a Mamon Shei Yisrael, clearly indicates there will be us to be Mazik. Mamon Shei Yisrael. So there's a fascinating discussion. Halacha Lamais is brought down by the Ramah and others that when it comes to various questions of Hefsed Mamon, so when there's Machlokas Poskim, we always say Yachad Rabim, Halacha Kerabim. But if there's going to be a hefsin mamun, so we would say you could pass like the Das Yachid. Remember there's once a case in the Makolet across from YU. They had bought some type of candy that had gelatin in it. Now gelatin, the Sfardim eat gelatin, right? I think Rav Avadia is a mekel lagabe this. And Ashkenazim are a little bit firmer in this regard. And we don't have gelatin. Now this guy, this owner, bought a big amount, a large amount of gelatin-based candy. It was kosher for the Sfardim, but not for the Ashkenazim. So, but he couldn't return it. Once you buy it, you couldn't return it. So I believe, a lot of Ashkenazim ate gelatin that week. But I believe Rav Shechter said, because since it's a Hefsa Meruva, and it's a, there's a Das Yochid out there, not even Yochid, it's a Das of the Sfardim. There's an opinion out there, and even within the Ashkenazim, there's machlokas whether we can rely on it. I believe, don't quote me on this, but I'm pretty sure Rav Shechter at the time gave a heter for him to sell it. Based on this. So we have sometimes b'makom hefsin mamon, you could rely on the Das Yachid. I'm not saying any of you should ever apply this to yourself. You always ask a shayla, but it's out there. It's very, very important. So there happens to be a fascinating discussion. Would that be only the case by an iser midrabanon? We would rely on a yachid by an iser midrabanon, or even by an iser d'araisa, would we let a person to rely on a Das Yachid b'makom rabim? So just those who want to look up, it's based on a shach in your Dei Simin Reish Mem Beis, and there's a Bach there, this discussion. But we see how important Hefsa Meruba is, how important Torah's Chasa Amamon and Shei Yisrael. So here the Chavetz Chaim says, that's the chilek between the source of Vishkisa Esa'eda Vesbiram versus Finus Abayis. Finus Abayis is a Hefsa Muat. Klei Cheres, how much is Klei Cheres? They could make Klei Cheres in the backyards. You have a little pottery, a little mud, you shape it, and not a big deal. It's mud. How much does it cost? But as Be'iram, it's a Hefsa Meruba. An animal itself, a cow itself, is a lot of money. You know, part of the bring of a carbon, the Ikka part of the carbon is it's supposed to be shechting the animal. And the Kli Yakar speaks about in the beginning of Vayikra how the coin says this should really be you being shechted, this should be your heart being taken out, this should be your stomach, and it's supposed to be somehow a kapar that you visualizing the carbon. But I believe there's a Tosfos in Zvachim that also indicates part of it is the out-of-pocket loss. It costs a lot. Buying a cow isn't cheap. $1,000 for a cow? I don't know how much a cow costs, but I don't know where you buy a cow from. But $1,000, yeah? More? $2,000?
No, sorry, last summer, they were selling cows.
Yeah, they were? Oh, yeah, okay, that's what we were. Okay, I don't remember that, okay? if someone wants to buy a cow, so we bring in show and tell. But I don't, they cost money. I happen to have a... You know, a friend of mine, a chavrusa of mine, so we learned a number of years ago, we still learn now, and he once came late. He's very machbid, and we learn once a week, he's very machbid. This is learning for the week, and he's very machbid, always comes on time, and gets very upset if he misses. So one time, he just, he came very, very late. He felt bad, so he texts him, and he says, okay, what can I get you? I said, I really want to perform the mitzvah Petach Hamor. I really do. I didn't have at the time Hebrew writing, so it came out Peter, Chamor. He's like, who in the world is Peter? Either way, the ongoing joke is I want him to buy me a Petach Chamor. So we searched a little bit how much a donkey costs. So it's like a few $100 for a donkey. It's not very easy to come by to get a Petach Chamor because you have to have it owned by a Jew. It has to be the firstborn, and it has to be a boy, a male, and oftentimes a miscarriage. So either way, so part of it is they're very expensive. Donkeys are expensive, cows are expensive. These things cost a lot of money. So while the finos abayis is a very small cost, it's a hefsin muat, okay? And biram is a hefsin meruba. So we learn two different dinim. He says, one, the importance of hefsin meruba, that certainly you have to take, but even a hefsin muat, that also we take into consideration. We have to be very, very careful, even for a small amount of money. I was once talking to a rav has asked me a question about someone in their kila had chafed up their plate, and then mixed together with the other plates, and now they didn't know which one it was. So now it's mixed together. Now can we apply the din of bittel barof? We don't know which plate it is. I'm not sure those who are learning Yoredeya at all. So I was talking to another rabbi just about this particular psak. And he was very, very, very insistent that we have to save the plate for the person because it's chasa, tar chasa, mamon, shei, sro. We have to be so careful, even though it might not be expensive plate, we have to be, and he was right. Because even on a piece of klei charis, even though it may not be an expensive piece of china, we have to save it. Now, the halach lemaisa in that particular case is that, anyone know what the psak would be if you have a treif pot, a treif, let's say plate, that was mixed together with other plates, now you can identify which is which, would you be able to use that treif pot? You can't kasher china. You can't kasher china. It's klei charis. You can't kasher. So now you don't know which one it is. Do you throw them all out? Or could you use them all? And therefore you say you should throw them all out.
Wait 24 hours.
Okay.
Wait 12 months.
12 months, okay. Elliot, any suggestion?
I'm fairly certain that the halacha is if you have three steaks, you know, one of them is not kosher, then you all three are basically kosher. And two are, obviously.
Right.
It's batel baruch, so I'd imagine if it's a kosher can on the dish that you need the steak on, if the steak itself.
So there's an idea that concept is true. If you mix together, you have two kosher meats and one non-kosher meat, you don't know which is which. They all look the same. So there's din of bit of a rov. There's a din of the machlokas rush and the rajba, whether or not we say you could eat all three at the same time, all three separately, should you separate one. Either way, that's by rov, you're right. But Yossi is pointing out that there's a concept called davar shebe minyan. If something is counted by the number, so an egg, for example, you sell not by the weight, you sell by the amount, how many eggs, beminim. So if an egg falls into a mixture, a treif egg falls into a mixture of eggs, you can't say bitta because davar shebeminim. So that which gets counted cannot be batal. So Yosef says, you count dishes, you buy dishes by the amount, 12 dishes I buy, that's beminim. So you're right, except for the fact that Prima Gadim says, davar shebeminim, there's no bitl. It's only true when the actual item is the davar iser. The egg itself is davar iser. But when the plate became also from something else through blios to tam, then it's not davar shebeminim and there would be bittel. In this particular case, they can use the dishes. We would apply bittel.
That's what I meant.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, back to what we're talking about now. Okay, so we have this distinction again of hefsid muad, hefsid muga. So these are three answers. Why two sources? Just to recap before we go to the next piece very quickly. The recap is why two sources? Number one is to tell me that you could even be nehne bimokum iser of Meisenism. Number two is it depends on Tzabai Chaim. And number three is one is teaching me a Hefsin Meruba and one's teaching me even a Hefsin Muat. One has to be careful.
Well, why wouldn't we just say you can teach a Hefsin Muat and then just say Kabbalah?
Yeah, same question like Benji, the same thing before. Teach one, teach the greater Chiddush, and you learn the other one from that. I'm not sure. I don't have a good answer for that. Yeah. Okay, so the second piece now, we'll just say pretty quickly, is that the other thing that comes up often, and I had this question for some time, I'm happy I came across this discussion here, how come sometimes Chazal invoke the concept of a Torah chasa amamonan shel Yisrael, and therefore we should save their money, and yet sometimes the Gemara says you should splurge. Ein ani es b'makom ashiris, that there is no poverty in the place of royalty, the place of wealth, in the base of Migdash. So I always just thought that the answer would be that one's Mamakam Mikdash, Einan is Mamakam Ashir, the Mamakam Mikdash, and then one's outside the base of Mikdash. That's what I thought the simple pshat would be, which it seems like the Nod Buddha says something quite similar to that. Now, the big question for that, however, is Lechma Panim is in the base of Mikdash. And you would say, you would think, based on what I would think, Ein Anis Mamakam Ashir, you should spend for the more money, you should spend for the flour, for the solace, for the Lechem Apanim, which is the base of Migdash, which is Malkum Ashiris. But the Gemara says, no, by the Lechem Apanim, Dafka, Chasa, Amamon, and Shei Yisrael. So what's the answer? When do we apply which one? So the Yom HaTshuva himself doesn't give an answer. He says, it's Shikol Das Chachamim. They make decisions without giving a clear guidance. They decide when to say, let's save money. They decide when to spend money. But no real clear guidance when is which. But the Tshuva Me'ava, he says, he gives his own suggestion. He says that what we had said before about the other answer, hefsin mu'at, hefsin mu'uba. And what he explains is that b'makom hefsid gadol, it is going to be a large loss of money or a large use of money, so then we can't push that on Am Yisrael and the Tzibur. So then we'd say, chasa amamon en she'israel. But if the hefsid is only mu'at, it's small, he doesn't define a small right now or big, but then we would say, oh, not such a big loss. Ain't any Yisrael Malkam Ashiris. Don't be so cheap. Sometimes we say, don't be so cheap, spend it. And sometimes we say, we have to save money a little bit. Now, one of the big things, I know we said we'll discuss Shalom Bayis a little bit, but one of the big issues that with a husband and wife, you know, there are three big issues that are face husbands and wives, chasen and kalas. One is families, in-laws, how that interaction works with a mother-in-law, a father-in-law. That's one of the biggest issues. Number two is communication, how they communicate with each other. There's number three also, bedroom issues. And then number four is, really four of them, is monetary issues. So oftentimes you have the, you know, they're fighting about raising the temperature, lowering the temperature, and not per se how they feel. It's more about, you know, one wants to be more comfortable, so he's willing or she's willing to, you know, raise the AC to make it more comfortable, even though it means the bills are going to go up higher. So that's a big one about, you know, dealing with the money. So you know, it's being cheap or about spending money. That's always the question. How do you define what's considered, is it worth spending money on this versus that? You know, your wife wants to spend $1,000 for a shaytel, and you think, what's the big deal? You already have three shaytel. Why do you need another shaytel for? I'd rather spend money on going to, I don't know, going out to eat for a couple hundred dollars, much cheaper than a shaytel. Ah, but the shaytel you wear every single day, and the restaurants, one time you come and go and you leave. So these are one of the issues. How do you define hefsim muat, hefsim meruba? So when Rav Moshe in his tshuva, he says it's all subjective. How do you define what's hefsim meruba? And he says the posek who's giving a particular psak, and he has to weigh in whether it's a hefsim meruba or not, he has to be able to assess the situation. So I've had this sometimes, and it's hard to know. Rav Williga, he said, you have to know the person just like based on what you see, based on the size of his house and the car and how he dresses. You can only judge what you could see. And sometimes you have to define, to figure out on your own assessment whether or not it's a hefsim meruba or not. So I've had cases where, I can't remember the exact shilas, but I'm trying to think right now. But there were cases where I knew the person was very, very wealthy, and I said, it's not a big deal, just it's fine, just let it be. Whatever the case is, I wish I had a better example, a example to give you. But other times, I know the person was struggling, and I had to be makel, so they shouldn't lose us. So you have to be able to judge, hefsim meruba, hefsim muat is not a defined defined categories, but depends on each individual and how the posek assesses the situation. So that's the, either way, that's the first explanation of when we apply Eino Nizmach Mashiris versus Chasa Amamon and Sheisrael. And the last answer is the Chua Me'ava quotes from his Rebbe, the Nodeb Yehuda, a different answer. That it depends on, close to what I had thought, the Machom Mikdash versus outside, but he fine-tunes it a little bit further. It's Davar Hektish B'Machom HaMikdash. He says, the case of Lechem Apanim, granted, it's in the base HaMikdash, but at the time, it's Chulin. The wheat, the loaves are Chulin at the time when you're making it, and therefore, you would not say, Ein Anis B'Machom Ashiris. It's not a Machom Ashiris, it's Machom. It's not a Davar Ashiris. It's not a item of wealth. And therefore, he said, whenever it's Chulin, we say, okay, Chas Mamon Amon Sheisrael, be cheap, don't spend money on Chulin, but if it's a Davar Hektish already, so then we'd say, splurge, spend the money, Ein Anis, but Malcolm Ashir. So these three answers, just to recap again, was either Yom HaTshuva, there's no real answer when we use which one. It just depends on Chachamim. Number two is, it depends on Hefsin Muat versus Hefsin Meruba, or finally, depends on that which is Hektish versus that which is not Hektish. Okay, we'll stop here. Reminder, we have, again, we have learning tomorrow, 9:15.